If you have your Bibles, you want to join me in Galatians 5 and verse 16. This morning we want to go to the Scripture and talk about living in the Spirit. The Bible makes it very clear that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. The body, we understand what it is. In fact, the word is flesh and talks about the body. We're skin. Flesh, there's flesh of animals, they have a body. But we also have a spirit. It's that part that relates us to God. The Bible says that His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When I became a Christian, I got saved, I realized I didn't have that connection. I was empty. I'm just living in my own power. And then there is the soul. That's the part that relates us to ourselves and the world around us. Of course, that's where the spiritual battles are fought, within the soul of man. That's struggles and challenges that we face on a daily basis. But we have the Holy Spirit living within us the moment we're saved, and we now have the ability to fight the battle. Before, we were under darkness. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the gospel would shine unto them. We know that we all had our conversation in times past. We know that we're under the power of the prince of the air. Satan unknowingly, controls us. And then you become a Christian, it's like a whole new world. It's like, wow, I didn't see that. I didn't get it. And we now have this relationship with the Lord. But have you noticed it's still a struggle? To live a holy life and a godly life is a challenge. It's not the same as we were before. It's like the southern country man said. He said, God gave me a new want to. You have a new desire. And we're not everything we want to be. We're not everything we ought to be. But by the grace of God, we're not what we were. So we're trying to grow. And that's what we want to talk about today, is living in the Spirit. And that's what the Bible tells us and describes what a Christian should do, is to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's desire is that every one of us would live by the Spirit. Metaphorically, we see the term walk in the Spirit. And when it's not literal, it's metaphorical, that every day we're just guided by the Holy Spirit. There are only two means of living your life, and that is by the flesh or by the Spirit. There is this flesh from was unconverted and unsaved. And the definition of the flesh, there's really the human body is the flesh, but spiritually speaking, it's an unregenerate state of all mankind. It refers to that part of us that's alienated from God. It is a compulsive inner force inherited from man's fall, which expresses itself in general and specific rebellion against God and His righteousness. The flesh can never be reformed or improved. It has to be crucified. And that when you try in your own power, you could gain religion, but you still have not dealt with the flesh. That's why only the living Christ within you can allow you to live by the Spirit when you have crucified the flesh. So I want to start by talking about the flesh, and it's in direct conflict with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So it's describes for us here how this battle is going on, and they are in conflict with one another. Do you ever do something that you think, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. That was a bad idea. You know, if you were in the South, you might say, hey, y'all, watch this. And wow, that was a mistake. Never should have done that. I messed up. And sometimes you look at your past and you think, what was I thinking? And obviously we weren't thinking. Well, the flesh is, that's how it works and it operates. We do what we want to do. It's fulfilling certain base desires, and we follow the way of the flesh. So there is a conflict. When you're saved, you have now this battle. You're to put off the old and put on the new. We're to walk in newness of life. So there is a struggle between the world and the flesh. The flesh does not grasp spiritual teaching, spiritual truth. In John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And that old English word means made alive. It is the Spirit that makes you alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh is not willing to depend on anyone or anything outside of its own power and control. There are a lot of things that people who are unsaved will say, "I got this. You can do anything you want to do." There are a lot of statements and cliches that we hear. You know, "Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing." See, that's all the typical nature of the flesh. It's not dependent on anyone or anything. If you turn over, if you're still in Galatians, just a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," Paul talking to the church at Philippi, "if any other man thinketh he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, manure, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." As I was taught in Bible college, Paul was the PhD of that era. He had gone as far as you could go in schooling. He was the highest rank of the Jewish people, a leader being groomed for a high position. He was evidently very smart. We know a great deal of the New Testament was written by him. He had literary ability. He was a Pharisee, meaning the most religious of those Jewish people. And not only to that point, but even beyond that, he would try and put down anyone that disagreed, anyone that he thought was going the wrong direction, persecuting the church, because it was a threat to Judaism. So he looked at all the things he had done. He gives evidence of his past. He said, "I could glory my flesh," but he said, "I count all those things as nothing." Why? Because what he has in Christ, that changed everything. The flesh wants to depend on itself. Paul said, "Oh no, I don't depend on anything I've done." He said, "I am nothing." The flesh hates to be told what to do. In Romans 7:5, it says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." The flesh does as flesh wants to do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "For they are that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We can all go back in history of our life and look at the way we lived, and we'd say, "You know, I just want to do what I want to do." We're basically filled with pride and selfishness and doing all things that we want. When I was growing up, and some of you know this about me, that I did have a certain element of pride, and it was very subtle. You know, I didn't think I did. I thought I was very humble. You know, sometimes people who have pride think they're humble. But I was president of my class. I was an athlete. I was a leader. I was president of my class for 4 years. The fourth year, The guys thought we're going to, as a joke, they had this guy who was basically a drunk in high school, and they were going to elect him as president. And actually, I think he got more votes than I did. But the supervisor saw what was happening. I could see the look on her face of shock. And she said, "Oh, Jim Townsley won." And I don't think I did, but still, I was president for 4 years anyway. I go to college and I had a fraternity, a well-respected fraternity in Purdue University. I had a lot of trophies for different things. I built my own trophy case. Yeah, I did have a little bit of pride. But when I got saved, that changed. It's not me. And I could see myself as nothing, as nobody. And I think we can all identify with that. You look at your past and you see how you lived and what you did. You all have this testimony. That's the way it was, and I just lived for myself. This is what I want to do. When you get saved, it's a whole new world. What does God want me to do? He has me here for a reason. He has a plan for my life, and he can use me. The flesh is intrinsically hostile toward God. It is a systemic problem, the flesh. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It is an intrinsic issue that's the way we are before we're converted, and we have no choice about it. We just follow the flesh. No power to change. Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not." The flesh abuses freedom. Galatians 5:13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." When you become a Christian, there's a new desire in your heart and life. And you don't have to have the law. You don't have to have all these rules and regulations. You don't want to disobey God. And sometimes if someone was not a Christian, they might think, "So I can live however I want." No, it's not that kind of liberty. We have liberty in Christ. We're following Christ, and it's under the Holy Spirit's guidance that we can live above the law. So there is this idea that the flesh abuses freedom, takes advantage of it. And the flesh desires to be fed. And you can feed the flesh. Galatians 5:16, which we read, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would." The one that grows and is most prominent is the one you feed the most. So it's like you got the Spirit and you got the flesh, and there's a battle. The one that wins is the one you feed. And if you feed the flesh, it grows. Feed the Spirit, it becomes prominent. The flesh fuels sin. And you go down to verse 19 of Galatians 5. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," which is unbridled sin, "idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." We could spend a lot of time talking about the flesh, and we've spent enough, but I think when you get saved, you understand it. Before a person is saved, it's kind of hard to grasp it. But the flesh is an adversary, and it is one of the enemies of every individual. We have the world, we have the flesh, we have the devil. All those are enemies for a Christian to live in the Spirit. But I want to talk about living in the Spirit. Metaphorically, we said, it's like walking in the Spirit. It's just as you go through life. The word conversation was an old English word. It was your lifestyle. That is our lifestyle. We try and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says we're to be filled with the Spirit, controlled. When you get saved, you have all the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? The Christian life is, more than anything, learning to yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to have his way. There is a fullness of the Spirit, and you might characterize it as the Christ life. It is Christ living in us. There are many, many references where Christ is in us or we are in Christ, and it is living through the power of Christ in us, a whole new lifestyle. The Apostle Paul discusses holy living in Romans 6. We'll not turn to it now, but Romans 6, 7, and 8, those three chapters, talk about and discuss this battle that rages within us. The first section in Romans 6 talks about holy living. He addresses our relationship to sin. We are no longer a slave to sin because of what Christ did on the cross. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sin, he shed his blood. When we have salvation, he lives within us and we have forgiveness. So it has already happened. We are crucified with Christ. So doctrinally and spiritually, that has taken place. Sometimes practically, it is a challenge and more difficult to deal with. Chapter 7, he states that living a holy life does not come by keeping the law. No man is justified by the law. I think everybody realizes we should live according to the law, but when we have the idea that if I keep all the law, then I merit salvation. Salvation doesn't come by what we merit. The law exposes who we are, and we realize I can't keep the law. I'm not perfect. And you read the law, I'm condemned. It doesn't bring life. It brings death. We find life in Christ that we are forgiven. So the idea is we're not saved by keeping the law. The law exposes who we are and that we can't be saved, and it shows us the standard that God has. Then when we get to chapter 8, Paul stresses the importance of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome this disposition of life, of sin, so that our disposition is toward holiness. When you become a Christian, you have a desire to live for him. It changes your outlook. I want to live for him. I want to succeed. I want to live a holy life. I want to please the Lord in all that I do. So Paul describes seven key ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. If we're going to live a life through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, these describe how that happens. First of all, he talks about walk according to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit daily, moment by moment. Lord, show me what to do. How do I do it? I want to be under control. I yield and I want to follow your leading. So whatever happens during the course of the day, you start the day with God. You read your Bible. You pray. Lord, what is the plan? What are my responsibilities? And as you go through the day, every thought, every consideration is, how can I please God? That's walking in the Spirit. It is a daily lifestyle. We have to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And all these are found in Romans 8. If we set our mind on things above, the things of the Spirit, there was a preacher that came to chapel when I was in college, and he said, you need to practice the presence of Christ. Now, the truth was relevant to me at that time, that I was starting the day, and I'd start to run out, then go to class, and I thought, oh, forgot to read my Bible. It had not yet become a habit. And some days I would go through all the motions of what I had to do that day. I'd go to work in the evening, come home, get the end of the day, and I said, this is a lousy day. Well, I didn't even start it with God. It's like I forgot about him all day. And I'm trying to do it myself. But when you start the day, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your guidance. And what is the next step? How do you want me to deal with this? There is a life that we set our mind on things above. The Holy Spirit guides us. In verse 13, he said, we put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. We are crucified with Christ. We have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The word mortify, from the Greeks, where we get our word mortician. You put it to death. So we put to death the flesh. One man made it very clear. He said, every morning I get up and jump in the grave. We die to self. We surrender our life to him. Lord, I don't need the flesh. I need the Spirit. And then we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be mystical, but the Holy Spirit does quietly guide and direct us. You know, there are thoughts that come into our mind that come from experience. You remember certain things because you've experienced them, reading and studying. I believe God puts certain thoughts in our mind, and I believe Satan can put certain thoughts in our mind. And we want to concentrate on those things that are good. The Bible says, of all these spiritual things, it says, think on these things. There's the right things to think on. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Verses 15 through 17, we can know the fatherhood of God by the Spirit. We have a relationship. We cry out, Abba, Father. We have a God that cares for us. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. I think that's the one bird that may be worldwide, a sparrow. They're very prominent. They're not necessarily attractive, and yet God knows about every one of them. The hairs of our head are numbered and going down. He knows that. He recognizes every detail about our lives. He is our Heavenly Father, and he knows our need at every exact moment. And we have hope in the Spirit. There is encouragement. We could be discouraged, and, you know, living in the flesh is not always a pleasant thing. It satisfies for a while, and then it comes back to bite you. You can go out and have a party and drink all night, but the next day it catches up to you. And it's a lifestyle that doesn't lead to peace. But when you live for the Lord, being led by the Spirit, it can give you a happy home, it can give you a happy life and peace, and you can lay your head on a pillow at night and say, it's well with my soul. Hope in the Spirit. And we are to pray in the Spirit. As we pray, the Holy Spirit guides us. So it's not just us selfishly saying, I'd like a new sports car. I'd like a bigger home. I want more money. The Holy Spirit leads us in our prayer to pray for the right things. And then Ephesians 5:18, he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled means we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. There are times where we are tested. Did you ever get on a phone and you're trying to contact a contractor for a phone company or an insurance company, and you get an automated attendant, you know, it choose one of these five options, and you choose one of those options, and then you hear the music playing, and then nobody comes on. And you're there about 10 minutes, and they say, well, you need to go to a different department. And you go to another department. It tests whether you're filled with the Spirit or not. Am I controlled by the Spirit of God? I think the all-time record was with Frontier Communications. All-time record. I must have spent 40 hours on hold and talking to different people, and it was a big test, I'll tell you that. We are to be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are to serve in the Spirit. And as we live for God, there are opportunities to serve him and be a testimony and a witness. We are to serve in the Spirit, and we are to love in the Spirit. And all those things happen through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Totally different. No, I think before I was saved, none of these things ever occurred to me. Never even thought about them. But when you become a Christian, it becomes prevalent in your life. So if we're going to live in the Spirit, have a Christ life, we have to walk in the Spirit and allow those things to control us. So the victorious Christian life is dependent primarily on three things. Now, there's a lot more details, but really it comes down to three things. It begins with, we have to crucify the flesh. Put to death the flesh. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh, crucify the flesh. And he said, you don't just lay there and do nothing. You say you were dead to self, you know, doesn't mean inactivity. What it means is we make a choice. I'm not going to allow the flesh to control me. I'm done with that. It's crucified, dead. And the Bible says it's already done, because when Christ died on the cross, he already paid for our sin. He set us free. The Bible says if we are set free, we are free indeed. So we're set free. But yet, sometimes we can revert back to the flesh if we're not careful. That's why it begins by recognizing every day, I'm crucifying the flesh. I'm not interested in living the flesh. And then we have to live in the Spirit. Our text was, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, help me, guide me, direct me. We read the Bible. We study the Word of God. It gives us input, gives us guidance. I need to practice every day to live in the Spirit. And thirdly, we have to renew our mind. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians, right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, it's the old English word for a lifestyle, the old man, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3 describes that also. You put off and you put on. Put off the old and you put on the new. But it says renew your mind. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you try in the flesh to put all these things out of your mind, you've got to renew your mind, transform mind. So there's got to be something called replacement thinking. We'll have a little test for you here this morning. Everybody ready? You don't need a piece of paper. I'm going to say the number 8. Now, put that out of your mind. Put number 8 out of your mind. 8, 8, 8. Put it out of your mind. Is it working? It's not working, is it? Stick that. What did I just say? 8. It's stuck. And you try to put it out of your mind by thinking about it. All you do is concentrate on it. Keep thinking about it. You know, somebody's looking for another drink, another alcohol, another drug. Even after you get saved, it's like if you're not careful, you just keep thinking about it, concentrating. I'm going to put that out of my mind. And whatever sin it might be, whatever habit you're trying to overcome, when you start concentrating on it, it's just maximized in your mind. Here's what you have to do. You have to renew your mind. You have to have a transformed mind. You replace it with something else. So we'll take the number 1,000 and divide it by 5. So any math person here, what do you get? 200. Now, if you start thinking like that, you're not going to worry about number 8. And if you fill your mind with the things of God, and you read your Bible and you're praying, you're going to church, you're listening to Christian music, you're serving the Lord in some ministry, you're not thinking about all these other things. You're renewing your mind with Christ and the things of Christ. You can hear preaching literally all day long if you want. And if you like podcasts, you can get podcasts about the Christian life and you listen to them literally all day long. And when you replace all the way you were thinking before with the things that are good, and if you don't, you know what happens? you just revert back to the same thing again. You must replace all those other thoughts and all those other things with something different. If you're a parent and you have small children, we've got some parents here today of small children, and you just tell them, sit down there, be quiet, don't say anything. That only goes so far. And before you know it, they're fidgeting, then they're getting out of the chair, looking around. They need something to do. You've got to replace it with something. You know, if you don't, some of these children, I think, if they're guided in the right way, boy, God can use them. And if they're not, they're in trouble. Because they're going to find something to do. They're going to get busy either doing good or doing bad. And when you start replacing your life with good things, you don't have time to think about the other things. And it begins in the mind. There's a little book that was written, How to Overcome a Stubborn Habit. Now, there could be something like pixie dust. You say, it's gone. But there's not. You could pray for a miracle. God, take the desire away from me. Help me to... And maybe God will, but probably that's still there. The only answer that is ever found, and you know, there you can go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist could give you medicine. Or you can go to a psychologist that counsels you, and they say, take this pillow and take your frustration out on the pillow, beat the pillow. You know, and that's their solution, that's their answer. But the Bible has one very clear answer. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is the answer. The answer is a Spirit-controlled life. That there really is no other solution. If you're saved and you're struggling with some habit, the answer is the Spirit-controlled life, living in the Spirit. And you have to learn to be controlled and filled with the Spirit and replace all the things with good things, things that are bad things with good things. And when you start doing that, you begin to have victory in your life. And our people, they're so discouraged and distraught that they think there's no hope. I can't change. But you can. Paul made a statement in chapter 6. Who'll deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is found through him living through you. And as you live in the Spirit of God and are controlled by the Spirit of God, you can and will have victory in your life. Hebrews talks about besetting sins. I believe everybody has their propensity towards something. It could be anger. Could be drugs or alcohol or some addiction. Could be jealousy, could be pride, and we're just prone to that one thing. Maybe several things, but one thing in particular just seems like we struggle. And it reminds us of one thing, the weakness of the flesh. It reminds us of our need for God and his help and intervention. It humbles us, because if we're not humble and we think we can do it, we find out we can't. And it reminds us that we need God, we need his help, we need his Spirit. As we yield to him, whatever that propensity is, whatever that issue is in your life, the answer, the solution, is living in the Spirit. Now, you can look other places, you can get books, you can read about it, you can go to seminars, you can go to counselors. It all comes down to that. If we're saved, we know the Lord, we've got the power within us, now we walk in the Spirit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we have victory in our Christian life. We're glad those are listening online. I'm glad that you've joined us. And I want to say, you can't live in the Spirit till you're saved. You have to know that you're born again. You have to be born by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. You have to receive Christ in your heart and life. And at that instant and moment, you're passed from death into life. You're a new creature, a babe in Christ, but a new creature. A miracle of new creation has taken place. Now you are set on a new path, a new pilgrimage, to do your best to live for the Lord. And in that path, the key element is we learn over and over again, and sometimes we try and fail, we falter, struggle. It always comes back to this. Whether you're a new Christian or you've been saved a long time, it's living in the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Let's bow for prayer this morning.